Good morning. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Appreciate the fathers, too. I'm going to write something here on the board, my thought. We might turn our Bibles to Proverbs 31. In the 10th verse, a virtuous woman. It says here, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. And I wanted to read some definitions of virtue. Virtue is a trait of excellence, moral, high moral standards, a righteous way, doing what is right. Virtuous also means good with a halo, good for humanity. And here are some words I wrote down about a virtuous: pure in heart, trustworthy, loving, hardworking, sacrificial, provides for the household, makes wise decisions, makes wise business decisions, takes care of herself, confident in her abilities and knows her worth, delightful, charitable to those that are in need. There's some of the definitions. I have some more over here. Manages the household, prepares for the future, supports her husband, creative, she's full of faith, speaks with wisdom, teaches kindness, very productive, a godly mother, praiseworthy, excellent spirit. So there's many things what virtue means. So who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Rubies is a great thing, but her price is far above money or rubies or riches or wealth, all this. Find a virtuous woman or a virtuous mother. And it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. I've realized even of late more that the woman, even if the man handles or is, how can I word this, the manager of the money, still the smaller amounts of the money, which it also contributes a lot, is in the hands of the woman, because she has to buy the groceries, she has to buy the gifts, she has to manage the household, she buys the flowers, she buys cards, she buys things for the family, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that the woman has to buy. She has to, so her husband is safely trusting in her that she's trying to do her very best. And he doesn't really want that job because it's a big job too. So he wants her to worry about that because he's got to worry about the main thing of focus to provide for the household. So that's her part. So it says in that he trusts her. You want to be able to trust your companion and trust your wife or trust your husband that they won't waste the money. So it says, so that he have shall no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. I'm going to stop a little bit and talk about some of these things and I'll go on, but what do you think that means by she is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar? I suppose that if she had to order it afar away, she would get it some way, right? Recently, I don't know, I came across this heavenly bread on the computer, and best bread, you know, sourdough bread, and I have all my equipment to get on the sourdough bread. I have to make another kind of bread. I want to make sourdough bread. It's supposed to be really good for you. But I found this heavenly bread, and it was from Ohio. I ordered it. And I explained to my husband why hamburger buns were coming. Hamburger buns and these little muffins that we make eggs, you know. The muffins at the store, have you found some you like? I don't find... They're so skinny and little, and they're just not very good. And these muffins, you know, like egg McMuffin you make in the morning for breakfast, are like this. The bread from heaven, I tried those two things. Well, they gave me a little sample of their banana bread, and it was really good. The price wasn't that bad. The shipping was a little bit more. I will have to confess that. But I told my husband, I explained it all to him, and I said, honey, you know, I like these little things once in a while to try how healthy they are, but I'm careful on the other side of it. I'm not going to spend as much money on groceries, because he taught me one thing. He says, if you do something, you trade. And he really taught me this, and I'm doing it. Like, you trade, Marcia. You can't have it all, okay? So you trade. So if you do that, then you spend less money on the groceries that week, because I had plenty of stuff in the freezer. So I said, honey, I'm trading for this bread from heaven. I wanted to try it. So it was so good. But so I guess that this scripture could mean something like similar, that, you know, you have to get it far away, get it, if you can do it. I was thinking about, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. Sisters, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you been cooking at night? What about Thanksgiving? One time we had some company, and it was family. They were staying the night with us, and I was up in the morning trying to get... Maybe I do it different than some people do, but I like my turkey. They want to eat at noon, you know, and I want my turkey to be done. So at 4 in the morning or so, or maybe earlier than that, my mom always put her turkey on at night and cooked it slower. And cook it all, and then she'd go on to bed, and then she'd wake up in the morning, it's all the dressing in it and everything is, the whole house would smell like this turkey, you know. And mom said, that's the way you do it, honey. It's that way she taught me. You put it on at night. And you wake up in the morning, that part's done. And then all these other side dishes, hopefully you've done ahead of time, right? Or people are bringing them. It's a big job, let me tell you. It's a big job to do Thanksgiving. But it's wonderful to sit down with all that food. But I know, anyway, one of the relatives got up that night and they said, you're banging pans and you're making so much noise. They weren't happy with me. I said, I'm sorry. Then I went back to bed. I said, don't they understand? I'm trying to fix their dinner. But I tried to be quieter because I am kind of noisy sometimes. And I kind of, you know, bang things around. But anyways, but we can relate to some of these things. And so even if it's at nighttime, and I was thinking about, I want to give some praise to Jerry's mother. She was a very good cook. And She died kind of young. She was like almost 60, 59. But as a young girl, when I married my husband at 18, his mother would make the biggest spreads of food. I hadn't learned how to cook that much, you know. But she had all kinds of dishes all over. It was almost like any kind of holiday or birthday or something would come up. It was almost like Thanksgiving. She cooked really, really was a great cook. My grandmother on my dad's side, she owned a restaurant, and she was also, in her early years, she owned a restaurant. But she was a very good cook. I tell you, no one that I have ate yet can match my Grandma Jones' chicken and dumplings. She was just the most. And you know how we pass down recipes? I've got a recipe from Sister Eck, apple pie. She made the best apple pie. And, so we pass down things to the children, you know, the recipes. And I think that, and Jerry's grandmother, Cordaway, on his dad's side, she passed down these rolls, their brown sugar rolls. Now, she made them homemade, but we found a little faster trick. I'll tell you. You buy the dinner rolls, you take the cupcake pan, so easy. You take the butter and you melt it and the brown sugar and you stir it up. Put this dinner roll on top of it. That's all you got to do. Bake it. And then when you take it, you flip it out. And you got the sweetest dinner rolls. Remember? Butter and brown sugar. That's it. Put the dinner roll in there. And if you want to make them homemade, you do that too. But anyway, Jody took her recipe. She said, Mama, I'm going to make them like Grandma Cordaway. I'm going to make them homemade. I said, well, you do that, honey. You do that. So anyway, it's wonderful how mothers pass things down to us. My dear mother, my memory of my dear mother, She worked in a factory and she worked hard, and she'd come home and she'd take a nap. My mom is almost 92. For what it's worth, if you feel tired, take a nap. Because my mother, I can always remember my mother napping. In fact, she came to Oklahoma in her 70s and she was taking a nap and a tornado was coming. I had to go wake her up. I said, Mom, a tornado's coming. She jumped out of that bed. She wasn't used to it. I said, we got it safe, but it's outside, you know. So we had to go out in the rain, and we got in it, and Jerry wasn't coming. She was so worried. I said, he'll come when it's really bad. Here he comes. I said, oh, it's getting really bad. Jerry's coming. He called it the Frady Hole. Excuse me, but that's what he called it. But anyway, the Lord protected us. But talk about my mother. My mother worked hard. But she rested, and she's almost 92 for what it's worth. I think we should listen and use wisdom about these things. But my mother was a great cook, too. She could cook really good. And I have so many good memories. And Jerry's grandmother, I wanted to tell you about her a little bit. Jerry's grandmother, in her older age, she didn't have a whole lot of money, but she saved it, and she bought Bibles for every one of her grandchildren. Not just any big, nice, wasn't it the red letter edition of the Bible, and had our names put on the Bible. This is a great engraved. Every one of her grandchildren got a Bible for Christmas. She worked on it. I remember her working on it, saving the money. Maybe sometimes she borrowed money from Grandpa, but she would pay it back to him. But she would get these Bibles. It was her goal. And I remember Jerry's older sister that was in Florida. They're just recently coming to the Lord, and they're reading their Bible, and they've read almost half of the Bible, and they said, of all these years, they're up in their 70s, they said, we are taking Grandma's Bible now, and we're reading her Bible. Isn't that wonderful? So see how mothers can just cast your seed. It might be years later before they read the Bible, but they are doing that now. So I just thank the Lord, and she wrote in there, with love, oh, so much, she would say, oh, so much love. But we got saved in her house with Grandma Wilkins. But anyway, just to name some of these people. But it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Sometimes, I remember one of my daughters, one time her husband was busy and they were needing a car, and she had to buy the car. And I think she had to buy the car without talking to him, because the deal came up before her. It just fell in her lap, so to speak, that day, Providence. And so she bought the car, and he was very, very happy that she bought the car. She got a really good deal on it. So, ladies, don't be afraid. You can buy something if the Lord tells you to. Just make sure that he'll be happy, right? But but since she considered the field and buyeth it. It says that she can do it, you know. Not maybe all the time, but I did buy one lot. Jerry bought lots, and he always talked to me about it. He was the man of the house, the head of the house, and he would talk to me and say, can we, you know, is this okay with you? We talk it over, and we would buy the lots together. But one time, this lot came up for sale, and he wasn't available. He was busy, and I bought this only lot that I ever bought. It turned out to be a blessing to us. It was a great price, and I knew it was so much less and so much worth it. So I did call him. I did call him and say, honey, I'm going to do this. This is okay. And he said, it's okay. And so I had to go out of town with Tammy, and she took me up there to Missouri to buy it. But anyway, long story short, but anyway, sometimes we have to do things. It's okay. If God leads you that way by his providence, you can do that. And she will be a blessing to her husband. And she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. How many times, ladies, have you thought about that when you're up at night working and you think about that scripture? Well, my candle's not going out. I'm still working. But it gives you a good feeling. Just recently, and I admire other women, and I, just recently, for Mother's Day, I asked my children to give me this book because it was kind of pricey. And I thought, well, if they all three divide, because they want to know what I want, it wouldn't be much for them. I know what they were going to spend on me, so it would cover it, you know. And it was called Hungry for Home. And Tammy had introduced me to this lady. And she, I just admire her. She cooks good. She does everything good. And she has a big, she lives on a 305, it's an old, old house, 305 years old. It's like a big farm. And they have a chicken coop, and they have a barn, and they have weddings in their barn for their family. But she works so hard, and she has all these beautiful flowers, and she just, and I think, I need this book. I need this book, you know, maybe I can learn something. Well, the other day, I got this book, and I did learn something wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm sharing of what a mother does. Something about getting older, I didn't care all that much for sweets, but since my mom's the same way, she wants a cookie once in a while, or she wants something sweet. And so this lady, she taught how, and you probably already know this, but she makes the chocolate chip cookies, and she shapes them and puts them in the refrigerator. After 30 minutes, then she bakes them. And the ones that she doesn't want to bake, she shapes them, she puts them in the freezer and lets them freeze overnight. When they freeze real good, then she can take them out and put them in freezer bags. And it's not just for her, but for company. Like, all of a sudden, your neighbor comes over. Or you can take these out, they unthaw real quick, and then you can fix homemade cookies. Like, maybe take 4 out at a time or 2 out at a time for your husband and yourself, you know. And it's just a way where you can have something, but you don't eat it all at one time, but you freeze it and you... You just have a little, like yesterday, I just wanted one cookie, and I ate just one cookie, you know. We don't have these 6 cookies. I'm not saying you can't went through, but, you know, what I'm trying to say, it's okay. But just different things about this lady, just a little bit touching. I wanted this book, Hungry for Home. And I think the reason she was so hungry for home and homemaking was when they first got married, they remodeled houses, and they were moving all the time, and she had to, you know, move. And she said and then finally they settled down in this farm, you know. And this is home now for the rest of their life, you know. And so anyway, I just mentioned that, how that she considered the field. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This is a virtuous woman. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. I remember some ladies that would tell me how that they would go and get sales, and probably some of you do that, like when winter is over and spring is coming. Lots of times people in these stores will discount their winter merchandise. And they'll go buy the winter coat, maybe a little size bigger for the next year for their children. But they're always thinking ahead. And so this is how a virtuous woman does. She thinks ahead for her household and her children. And that's a wonderful thing. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, they always say, you know, a good man, a good woman behind him, and that's true. I mean, a man needs encouragement. God created us to be a helper, and he wants us to be a helper to our husband and help him. And it says that her husband is known in the gates, and, you know, that's a good thing. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. You know, I thought that is a wonderful, Jody was kind of bringing that out to me the other day, and she had a message about that. I don't know if anyone heard it, but anyway, the law of kindness is in her tongue. You know, that is really, really one of the things that we could excel in, is our tongue having the law of kindness. Now, we may have the law of kindness 90% of the time. We may have it 95, or we might have it 98%, or 99.5, but just one thing we say that wasn't just right, God will tell us, you know. But we can have the law of kindness. And, you know, literally, they say bite your tongue, but it doesn't mean to bite it and hurt your tongue, but You know that. But it means to careful what you say. You tell your tongue, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to bite it. I'm going to restrain from saying that. And you know, like the scripture says in James, you know, the horses are driven with this is a little small round, but they got this bit in their mouth, and they can turn that horse. It's a big animal, and they turn it around with just a small bit in the mouth, trying to explain to us how important this mouth is. So the law of kindness is in her tongue. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I was just thinking, when we talk to people, have you ever had to talk to someone, even it might be your companion or husband, and it might be a difficult subject, but if you pray to God to give you wisdom, it's just the way that you say it, or husbands, the way you say it to your wife, can make the biggest difference. You know, when we communicate in relationships, the way we say it to our wife or our husband makes a big difference. You know, and so if God, we need to pray sometimes, give me wisdom so I can have the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Do we really know what idleness means? Not keeping busy enough. I think most of us are pretty busy. But doesn't mean you can't rest. Doesn't mean that you can't, you know, I love Sundays because Sundays we're busy, but yet God lots of times has us, we get tired on Sunday afternoon, take a nap or something if we can, you know. But Sunday is a day of rest. And even my children sometimes they'll say, Mama, how come we get tired on Sunday and we don't get tired any other day, but on Sunday afternoon we get tired? I said, well, maybe because God said that's your day of rest. So, you know, your body slowing down a little bit, taking a little rest. But anyway, God knows. Don't be idle. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Do we really have time to be idle when there is so much to do? Now, there's so much fun things to do. And I know housework can get a little bit drudgery. Right now, my husband got me a brand new dishwasher out in the garage. It hasn't got put in there yet because we got to work on something. But, so I've been washing dishes by hand, and I really don't mind it sometimes. But sometimes it's a little difficult. But I get in there, and I turn that hot water on and the soap suds, and I think, I'm going to get these done. And actually, I have a sink in the utility room. I kind of like have a kitchen and a half kitchen because I have a refrigerator and I have a sink, my washer and dryer, and I have like an island. So I move my dishes in there. That way my kitchen's always clean. And I told Jody, and Jody said, Mom, I don't understand. Well, you would pack those dishes in there. So it's not very far. I need a step anyway. But it keeps my kitchen clean. You know? I like it. And I wash my dishes by hand. I'll just take them in there. And Jerry's grandmother, she done this. She had a kitchen. Then she had a utility room with a sink. Her kitchen was never dirty because her dishes were rinsed off and put in a dish pan in there until she had time to wash them. My mother never had a dishwasher. And as a little girl, my mom told me that when I was 5 years old, I wanted to wash dishes. She's put me in a chair and let me stand there and wash them. I love the soap. I love to get my hands in that soap, and she let me do it. So anyway, I've had a wonderful life. I praise God. Yeah, I might have some problems, and like we all do, but you know what? I have had a wonderful life. I'm so excited. And even at my age now, I'm having a wonderful time. I'm just having a wonderful time. And I don't know. I just praise God. I just praise God for his blessings. You know, life can be so exciting. And it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuous, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, it says there, you know, most time when you look at pictures when people first get married, they all look pretty nice. They look pretty good. But you go 50, 60, 70, you know, we all age. And we don't look as handsome or maybe as pretty as you was when you're 18. But that's not the real person, right? I mean, that's them. That's their physical. But the real person is inside. That's the beauty that we want to have, that beauty inside. And it says here, beauty's deceitful. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Anyway, I just want to encourage your mothers today. Read the scriptures once in a while. Read them. I'm going to start reading these scriptures once in a while because it will help us to motivate us to be a better mother, to be a better grandmother, to be a better great-grandma, whatever, be a better wife, and just be the kind of mother you want to, God wants you to have. I just have a couple more things I wanted to mention. Every time I think about mothers, I think about Suzanne Wesley, because she was such a good woman back in her day. And I think she was born in the 1600s and died 1700 something, but she had 19 children. I think only about 10 really grew up to be adults. 19 children. And Jerry and I were talking about that, and he mentioned that would be like having a family of 5 or 6 nowadays. And she had them all. And it was amazing. Of course, back in the day, you know, back there, they did have a lot of children. And she was a wonderful mother. And they said that she had a certain time, I think it was 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the evening, that she would want to pray for about an hour, something like that. And so she would put this apron over her head when she got down to pray. That was the signal to the children, do not bother mother, I'm praying. But that's how devoted she was. And then she wanted her life to count. You know, sometimes when we're taking care of all those children, we really don't feel like our life is counting, but we don't realize how much it is counting. It's so counting, because if you raise children for the Lord, they live for the Lord, then they have children, they live for the Lord, then they have children, they live for the Lord, and you put that seed, like we mentioned in Sunday school, reap what you sow, you know, and so yes, it's real worth it, you know, and sometimes we never even know the future, like Grandma Wilkins would never know that in their 70s, Sharon DeWitt, I'm sorry, what's the name, but they would read their Bible. I wouldn't care, I don't think. But anyway, that they would be reading their Bible. It's just, we cast the seed and we just don't know where it's going to grow. It may grow after we're gone and we're in heaven, and it will grow. And so while we're here, we just want to cast the seed. I was thinking, I want to give honor to my dear friend Janine that passed away not long ago. She was one of my dearest friends. She was a great mother. She only had one child, and then she saw her granddaughter before she passed away. She loved Anthony, and she told me some different things. I won't share them here, but things that she would tell Anthony when he was growing up. And she was a big impact on that young man, that they just voted him as trustee at Guthrie. Janine was a mother, a great mother to Anthony. She was. I know her very well. So her life is counting. Her life is counting, although she's gone. Her life is counting. And I'll never forget her. I love her so much. It's almost, I know it's real, but it's just very sad to me. But I know God has given me such comfort and peace. It's like she's in heaven. She's happy. I even had a dream about her. I prayed, God, could I have a dream about her? And she came to me and I said, Janine, did you want to go to heaven? And she said, yes. I said, is it really wonderful? And she goes, oh, yes, it's so wonderful. I seen her in a dream. God gave it to me the very day she died. That night, I dreamed. So I know I have such peace that she's in a good place, you know, and she's happy. So anyway, I just wanted to give her some flowers. And anyway, but Suzanne Wesley, she prayed, God, help my life to count. Two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley. And as I was reading this morning, John was her 15th child, and Charles was her 18th child. Charles was her 18th child. She had 19 children. If some of us was the 18th child, we would not be born, right? Think about it. I mean, just think about how amazing that is. And he was an evangelist, and he wrote songs that we sing. I think one of the songs that we sing, is it Hark the Herald Angels Sing? You might look it up, but it's one of the great Christmas songs that we sing all the time. He wrote. I'm not sure if that's the right one. I might look it up. But anyway, just think of how amazing God had her life to count. Though she felt like she worked hard all the time trying to raise those children. She had one time their house burnt down. She had lots of adversities, lots of problems, but she just kept serving the Lord. And when she died, the children come to her. And she was living in like a parsonage where I think it was Charles or John was a pastor there. I think it was Charles. I think he is the one that kind of started the Methodist church back then, which was pretty believed in righteousness and holiness back then. But anyway, she lived with him in the parsonage. She didn't have her home. She didn't have a home, really. She lived with her children here and there, but at the end, she was living there. And the children all came, and she told the children, she said, "Will you do something for Mama?" And they said, "What?" And they said, she says, when I pass away and my spirit leaves, I want you to sing a beautiful hymn, sing a hymn for me. And they did that. I don't know what hymn it was, but they said they did that. Anyway, I'm not trying to be a downer or nothing like that, but I'm just trying to say a mother is very important. And I just wish you all a happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful I was able to share this message with you. It was strange because I kind of had it in my heart that I wanted to preach about mothers, but I didn't know of the opportunity. Not that I want Brother Bob sick. I hope he gets well real soon. But anyway, I'm thankful I could help out today. And I believe God's going to touch Brother Bob and help him to get well real soon. And pray that you have a wonderful, beautiful day.